This morning we get back into our series that we've been in for the last several weeks about Walk This Way. And we're looking at this gospel text today from Luke. If you recognize that there was a little bit of overlap in there, it's because last week we had the part about if you had faith like a mustard seed, you could talk to the mulberry bush and it would obey you. And so we started there today because that part is really kind of connected to the things that come ahead of it and what follows it. And in fact, it actually was, all of that together was the assigned reading in the lectionary for last week. So we split that in half to explore the second half today. So today, we're talking about the words from Jesus about do your duty. Carry out your duties that you have been assigned. And that's something that we understand a bit about because, you know, if you've been a student and you're assigned homework, there's a duty and a responsibility to do it. If you've been an employee, and I think almost all of us have worked, and we have duties and responsibilities and things we must do. In the context of military service, we certainly can understand what duty looks like, because in the environment of the military, there's a sense of duty and decorum and structure and command, and the chain of command, right? That's how it works. And so from the, you know, commanders to the generals to the, you know, next level down, depending on the branch of service, there's different titles. But it all is similar in this structure and this sense of duty and responsibility and honor that's kind of embedded into that, culture, right? So if you have an order, you carry out that order. You don't ask questions, you do it. Because that is how you work, how you live in that environment and in that role. This week, there was some big news with PG&E threatening. I guess they shut off power some places, right? How many were out of power? One, two, three. So three households represented today, because there were zero households at the 8 o'clock service who had lost power, right? And it was big news, and it understandably, because it was pretty significant. This was unprecedented to shut down or to plan to shut down the power. And, you know, facing all the criticism that they received for this whole idea of, hey, guess what, Bay Area, you're going out. You're going to be dark. And so there were people that were criticizing that effort, and the PG&E response, I thought, was interesting, that this is our responsibility. This is our, in fact, it was like, almost like duty to protect people. And I think it was certainly connected to the criticism that they faced last fall when particularly the fire near Paradise did all the damage and there were lives lost. And so, you know, maybe it was an overreaction, but they were responding with, this is our duty. This is our responsibility. We have to be ultra careful because we have, you know, this responsibility, right? So duty and responsibility are connected things. But before we get to duty and responsibility, let's talk about kudos and credit. Kudos and credit. There's an app that I have on my mobile device. It's certainly more than a phone, so I have a hard time calling it my phone. That is one of the features of it. But there's an app that I have, and it's like social media for cyclists and other athletes, but I use it for biking. And so when I've gone on a ride, and then I track it with that, and then I can upload it. And there's a couple things that happen when I upload a ride. There's segments, and so if I've gone faster from one intersection to another, then it gives me little medals on the screen, right? I can get a gold medal. It's kind of fun, right? Or a silver medal or a bronze medal. Or there's a personal record. If I set my personal record, it'll PR, and then there'll be things that look like confetti on the screen. How fun is that? So it kind of triggers that, endorphins, right, that come from that. The other thing that it does, because I'm connected to other cyclists, Dennis being one of them, and so when Dennis goes on a ride or I go on a ride, we can give each other kudos for the rides that we go on. And in a week, when he's going on rides in Colorado and I'm going on rides here, we can still give each other kudos across the country. How fun is this? Right? So we can get kudos. Who doesn't like kudos? The good job, the attaboy, the recognition. We all like that, right? We desire recognition for what we do. An affirmation that we're doing the right thing, that we're doing a good job, that, you know, whether it's, you know, a medal or a trophy or whatever it might be, or even if it's just, you know, little virtual things on my screen that look like a little gold medal, it feels good. Been really busy the last, month, in fact, because Gina's in the marching band at Milpitas High School. That's actually why she and Drew are not here today, because yesterday was the very first competition of the year. And so earlier in the summer, the director of the marching band was talking to me, and he said, do you think we could build this great big stage and, you know, have it able to load on trucks and roll out onto the field, and do you think we could do that? And I want it to be round, and I want it to look like a planet. And so we built a round stage with wheels and legs, and it can break into four pieces. It can fold because there's hinges in it. And, you know, we made this. And a few other guys and I, we, like every Saturday for the last month, and then we painted it just Wednesday to look like a planet. And the fun part, I mean, building stuff is kind of fun, you know, cutting wood, like that smell, and just, you know, the splinters in my hands I could deal without, but the rest of it's pretty fun time. And, you know, to create this and from the vision to have it actually built has been good. But probably the best part of it was having it on the field this week, and one of the instructors said, you know, I've been around this program for a long time, but this is by far the best prop we've had. I'm like, huh. I'm feeling good. And yesterday was the first competition for the band, and so we folded it up. The thing that I was, like, stressing out over, we have two 26-foot trucks we're renting, and so this 24-foot diameter stage has to go in 26-foot trucks that are, you know, however tall those are. So that was part of the challenge. So it folds, and we can roll it and put it on the thing and run the lift and put it in there. But now how are we going to get other stuff? So we have to turn it on its side, and it's all like, ugh. So we figured out how to do that yesterday. We got it to the location in Gilroy, got it out of the trucks without dropping it on anyone, which is good too. And then it went out on the field, and the students did their program, and it was fantastic. If we're connected on social media, I did a Facebook Live, so you can go back and watch the video if you want to see it. It was fantastic. And then the percussion students got a trophy. They were the first place percussion at the event, and Gina, being a percussionist, had her moment of holding the trophy. And how fun to get that affirmation for the band. The band came in second place, so there's a trophy for the whole band as well. Second place in their division. And I think Auxiliary also got an award. And, you know, it's just, what awards have you gotten? What kudos have you received? What kind of affirmation have you had for what you've done? It feels good, doesn't it? Whether it's just a little gold star on a chart on the wall when you're a kindergartner, or it's the watch that they give you when you've worked for a company for 25 years or whatever it is that they probably don't do anymore. Right? Whatever that recognition looks like, if it's real or if it's even virtual. That's why they say social media is addictive. Because when we like to post things, and how many people like it? I want people to like it. Right? That does something in our minds, that the dopamine release and the... It can almost create an addiction. So we like to get likes and affirmation and all of that, and that appreciation certainly feels good. But here's what can happen. We easily overestimate our efforts, right? Now, I'm talking about when we put these things into spiritual terms. It's fine to have people appreciate what you do. It's good, in fact. It's encouraging, and we should encourage one another. But when we start to get a bit self-absorbed, which is why I put the picture of the girl adoring herself in the mirror on the screen. You know, when we start to get almost too concerned about how many people like our stuff, or how many kudos did we get, or how many awards or what other recognition did somebody else receive that I didn't get? And that's where it starts to turn into something a bit distracting, right? It can be distracting in our lives when we're concerned more about getting appreciation than doing the things that we need to be doing. And then we can also, the other thing we do is we create a busyness in our lives and in our lifestyle that isn't necessarily the right approach or healthy even, right? We get really busy trying to do, and we live in a place where people are always doing, right? Always doing and hardly ever being. We're human beings, and we spend a lot of time being human doings because we lengthen the list of stuff we want to accomplish and create, and, you know, there's times when we have to put in the work. You know, building that stage had to happen. So there were Saturdays that I put in a lot of hours. And it's important to get jobs done, but there's also the importance of resting and relaxing and taking some time and not being just so consumed and so busy all the time. Because our busyness can happen because we're trying to accomplish more than maybe we should be doing. Or we trade doing the right thing for trying to do everything, right? And then when it turns into, look what I've done, look what I've accomplished, and the attention is on me, then I start to lose sight of what's really important. Maybe we even begin to expect God's appreciation for the things that we are doing, even the basic things. And this is what Jesus gets to in Luke 17, verse 9. And he's talking about the master. Does the master thank the servant because he did what was commanded? See, does the master thank the servant? Sometimes we get this idea that, if I accomplish all these things, then God will bless me. God will appreciate me. God will recognize that effort for him. But Jesus goes on to describe us as unworthy servants. We are unworthy servants. This is what he gets to in verse 10. So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. So the reality is this. Our sins separate us from God. Whether that's sins of where we're not doing or we're doing the wrong thing, or it's the sin of our pride because we start to look at all the things that we have done and get this self-reliance to the point where, what I do is really what earns God's approval. But Jesus says, when you've done everything that you're commanded, that's when you say, we're unworthy servants. We can easily fall into that trap that what we do makes us acceptable to God. But that is our sin of pride. Always, always right there with us. And yet we still receive God's grace. Even as unworthy servants, as people who don't deserve it, we still have God's grace covering us. When we have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory, he still provides for us the Savior. Ephesians chapter 2. These are my confirmation verses, so ones I refer to often. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is verses 8 and 9. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We're saved by grace. We're unworthy yet blessed. We're undeserving yet forgiven. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves acceptable in God's sight because of the sinful nature that we carry. And yet, God in his mercy gave his son to be our Savior, to be the sacrifice for our sin, to cover us for all the things that we've done that have pushed back against God or focused on ourselves. He gives us that grace. He saves us. He redeems us. And he calls us then to do things in his kingdom. And this is where we're called to be obedient. So do your duty. Right? Do your duty. Live by the grace we have received. This is the challenge sometimes. But this is what we get to in verse 10. As we live by the grace we've received, we recognize this. Verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 2. Right after these words about salvation by grace through faith, we see this. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What does that mean? That means serve Jesus. That means live by the grace we've received. That means follow in the pattern of life that we have received from him. So God has given us this gift of his grace. How do we then receive that gift and use his grace to the benefit of even our neighbors? Right? How do we respond to the gift of God's grace, and what is our responsibility in line with that? It's to serve Jesus. How do we serve him? How do we serve him? The way that we serve Jesus is different for all of us. Because we all have different gifts, different abilities, different opportunities, different resources that we would call on. Of all the images that are in today's on the screen today, this is the one I struggled with the most. How do I display living in the grace of God? Living under the grace of Jesus that we've received. Because it might be to go and help someone, help a neighbor. Well, it might be to have a conversation. It might be to be in an intimate setting and offer the grace and forgiveness that someone needs so desperately to hear. It might be to lead a Bible study for a bunch of people. It might be to share in an effort to help with people who are in need, even through the Share the Warmth drive. It might be, in the small catechism, Luther has a section called the Table of Duties. And it's connected pretty closely to what Luther teaches about vocation. When we hear the word vocation, a lot of times we think about what we do for a living, what earns the paycheck, right? That my vocation is pastor. Yes, true, but I also have a vocation as husband. I have a vocation as father. I have a vocation as connected to the boosters at Milpitas High School for the music department. I have a vocation as a neighbor with the people that I live around. I have a vocation as a dog owner, as a son still, a brother. And this is how it works. Like, we have these different responsibilities, roles that we have, and our responsibilities, our duties that we carry out in these roles. We can all live through the grace of God in any and every capacity that we find ourselves in. Like, as employees, what's your duty as an employee? To work hard. To serve your boss and the owner or the shareholders or whomever it is, to do the best you can do in that role and capacity. If your job is a teacher, it's to teach well, to develop these kids into young people toward adulthood, prepared for the world they're going to face. Right? If your work is in technology, it's to use that technology or develop that technology to do the things that it's designed to do. This is your duty as an employee for a company, to work hard, to do your job, right? And the same applies to all the segments and all the parts of our lives. We have roles and responsibilities as friends with people. If you're a friend with someone, your duty is to love that person. It's not rocket science, right? It's to remain connected. It's to support your friend. And all the while, we're serving Jesus in all of these capacities, living by the grace we've received, pleasing your commanding officer. Paul writes to Timothy in chapter 2 here, 2 Timothy. Share in suffering as a good soldier for Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Do we live in a, such a way that we desire to please God with what we do? Not so that he will give us kudos and say, great job, but because it's our duty and responsibility. This is what it means to walk this way. This is a series we've been in for the last many weeks, to walk this way. How do we enter into the kingdom of God, and how do we live in that kingdom as his people? We walk this way. We do what God's called us to do as a duty, as responsibility. It's not to win trophies. It's not to get kudos. It's because God has called us into this life. Sometimes it's difficult. It's like swimming upstream. It's going against the tide. It's going against where the world wants to push us. Sometimes it's not so hard. But every day it takes making the decision and doing the work to carry out the calling that God has on your life. What has he called you to? What does he want from you? But to be faithful to God and to serve your neighbor. He has shown you, oh man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you. But to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. To love your neighbor as yourself. Let's walk this way. And at the same time, we can appreciate each other and give each other kudos because it feels good. Let's do that to the glory of the name of Jesus. Carrying out our calling, living our lives in him. Amen.